for men and women with whom he can walk in intimate fellowship. The whole Bible is the story of the biographies of various ones that God walked with whom he could have intimate fellowship. There are three little times in the Bible when God mentions Enoch. And taking those three together, we'll see these eight things about Enoch's walk. There are only four verses in Genesis, the fifth chapter. There are two verses in Jude, and one verse in God's Hall of Fame, the 11th chapter of Hebrews. And we find two or three things there said about him that are not said in Genesis. I want to read this in Genesis and in Hebrews. Genesis 5, we'll begin with verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God. After he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Then again God says it. He loves to repeat these things. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Here's a man that lived in a generation or in a time that people lived to be about 900 years. Almost all of them lived over 900, and one reached 969. But here's one that in an era of longevity, he only had 365 years. But I'd rather have his 365 years than the thousand years of the rest of them. Seven times we read, and he died. In that long funeral train, here's one man that didn't die. God took him. It isn't any real virtue just to live a long time. It's not the quantity, it's the quality. Isaac Watts said about this train in here, there are a number of us creep into this world to eat and sleep, and know not reason why we're born except to consume the corn. Devour the cattle, flesh, and fish, and leave behind an empty dish. And if our tombstones, when we die, be'n't taught to flatter and to lie, nothing better can be said than he's eaten up all his bread, drunk up his drink, and gone to bed. And he died. But what a refreshing difference in this biography that God writes about this man. Altogether different. There was a meeting in which they were extolling a man that lived to be 103. Everybody was getting up and telling about the wonderfulness of this man living to be 103. But an Old Testament cracker got up and said, I don't see anything wonderful about it. He said, all you could say about him is he lived to be 100 and he took a long time doing that. I would rather have Enoch's 365 years of walking with God than the 1,000 years of the rest of it. Now I want you to notice these eight words. The first one is occupation. I want you to notice what he was doing these 365 years. He walked with God. And that fellowship just became more intimate, until finally he got too good for this world. and two acclimated to heaven, and God took him. Wasn't any sense in him staying here any longer. We need today, and this is what I'm doing this morning, to emphasize the believer's walk. Enoch walked with God, not ran, not a 100-yard dash, not off again, on again, not sporadic. He walked consistently, persistently, day after day, moment by moment. There are probably more souls stumbling into hell over the inconsistent walk of believers than all the avowals of infidels, all their blasphemies. We testify, as Buddy Robinson said, cream and live skim milk. But what we say, what we are, speaks so loud they can't hear what we say. And especially the loved ones right around us. Here's why it's so important to guard our walk. Paul says we're living epistles, read and known of all men. The only Bible the world reads is the believer. That's all. And if our version is inconsistent and blurred, they're not going to get the witness. There's only one other in the Bible of whom it was said he pleased God. That was our Lord Jesus Christ. So the first is occupation. The second is conformation. As he walked with God, he became more like God. This is the secret. You cannot walk in God's presence without God's image rubbing off on you. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "But we all with unveiled faces, reflecting as in a mirror the image of the Lord, or the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory." We say in Pauline theology, the Christian life is not a snapshot, it's a time exposure. As we reflect in a mirror the very character of God, and remember we are partakers of the divine nature, we're to show forth the virtues of Him that called us, His characteristics. As you walk with God, His image will rub off on you. It's like the godly woman, I think it was in India, that was witnessing to a bunch of children, and one of them asked her, he asked her, "Be you God's wife?" She bore the family characteristics. You ever notice a couple living together very long, they begin to look alike? Begin to talk alike? If Moses, for only 40 days and 40 nights in the presence of God on the Mount Sinai, came down with his face shining with the glory of God, what about this man that walked 365 years with God? Intimate fellowship. This is conformity. Confirmation. Amos 3:3 says, "How can two walk together unless they be agreed?" That is the sympathy, harmony, in tune with God. In other words, Enoch was conformed to God. God didn't conform to Enoch. If you want to walk with God, you've got to go God's way. Period. He's not going to bless your way and try to catch up with you.
You've got to go God's way.
Confirmation. In harmony with Him. Paul says in Romans 8, "Whom He foreknew, them also He predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son." Confirmation. As you walk with God, this confirmation will take place. Transformation of your image to His. Until you'll be showing forth the virtues of Him that calls you out of darkness to His most excellent light. Until you feel with God, you reflect the image of God. Third word is separation. If you would walk with God, you can't walk with the world. God calls all through the Word of God for separation. Come ye out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. And I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. And I will walk in you. Sixth chapter of 2 Corinthians, last few verses. I will walk in you. You can't want a more intimate fellowship than that. More intimate walk than that. But not for one minute do you expect this walk with God in harmony, in complete fellowship, without separation. Paul says, as Amos said, how could two walk together except to be agreed? So Paul asks, what communion hath light with darkness? What concord, what harmony hath Christ with Belial, the devil? And what participation or sharing hath a believer with an unbeliever? The word infidel is an unbeliever. So he says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols, whose temple you are? Now, if you want to walk with God, you're going to have a separated life. You can't walk with the world and walk with God. James makes it very emphatic. If you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God's. And he called them ye adulterers and adulteress. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is an enmity with God? We're living in a day today when the line of demarcation has been erased. Most believers are trying to walk, talk, act, live like the world. And they wonder why they don't have the fellowship with God. Why don't I get out of the Christian life what others seem to get? Why is my life so sad and so barren when others are so happy and fruitful for God? You're trying to walk in two opposite pathways. The carnal mind's at enmity with God and is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Two can't walk together except to be agreed. And it is the pathway of separation. God says of Israel, your sins have separated between you and your God. Sin always separates. You ever notice when in marriage or lovers, if there is thing comes in between, that immediately the fellowship's all broken. Adam used to long for the time of the day when God came down and talked with him, fellowship with him, in the cool of the day. But then he disobeyed God. And then where was he? Out in the among the trees, hiding from God. Adam, where art thou? He said, I heard your voice and was afraid. Wasn't before. So estrangement had come in. Sin had broken the tie. As a believer, you can't have sin in your life and expect fellowship with God. You can't walk with God with sin in your life. It's impossible. Or disobedience. Anything that brings this estrangement. You won't seek His face in prayer. You won't seek His face in fellowship. It's stilted. It's formal. Can't walk with God. Walk in sin. Notice in the next chapter, we have another man that walked with God. Enoch. In the 9th verse, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man. Get that? And perfect. That's upright in his generation. And Noah walked with God. Notice the first part of it. A just man and upright. Nothing between his heart and God's. Therefore, they could walk together. Paul says right after when God said, come ye out from among them, be ye separate, and I'll be your God, and I'll walk in you. He says in the 7th chapter, in the 1st verse of 2 Corinthians, therefore, let us cleanse ourselves of all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You have to. Goes with that separation and that fellowship with God to walk in you. John says, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie. Period. But he said, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then he said, if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. So many people make that fellowship with the other believers. He hasn't been talking about believers in that text. He's talking about with God. As I walk in the light with Him, I have fellowship between Him and me. And then the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all unrighteousness. But if you say you walk with Him and sin, you're lying. You can't. He won't walk with you if you're walking in known sin and disobedience. Disobedience is sin. The Jews in Jesus' day had a legend that relates a resurrection performed by Ezekiel. It was imperfect. They were alive, but still wore the grave clothes and still had the smell of the sepulcher upon them as they walked around. Many believers think that's the kind of resurrection God's performing on believers now. Friend, it isn't so. Christ came to cleanse us from all sin. And to have unto Himself a holy people with whom He can walk in daily fellowship. I've known in my own Christian life, any time I let some extraneous thing come in, or some disobedience or some sin in my life, immediately all fellowship is broken. I don't seek His face. The Word becomes perfunctory, and I don't seek it out and rejoice in it as one findeth great spoil. And not until I get down before God and get this thing straightened out, get His forgiveness, is the old tie again in my life, and I can have fellowship with Him, sweet communion as I walk life's pathway. Like the hymnologist of old, that wanted to tear that sin from his breast that caused God the Holy Ghost grief. I couldn't be at rest, I couldn't be at peace until I got this thing all straightened out. If you've ever known the sweetness of this walk that Enoch had, unbroken fellowship, till Jesus Christ is more real unto you than earthly companionship. You don't know what real Christianity is and what God's purpose and plan for you is. There could be no perfect concord between the perfectly holy God and the worldly-minded carnal Christian. It's utterly impossible. You can't walk with a holy God with sin in your life. That's why God said, be ye holy, for I, the Lord thy God, am holy. Now, I know that this is not your holiness. It's the Holy Ghost who performs this in you, but he can do it. Where there can be nothing between your heart and his. The song says, nothing between my soul and the Savior. You can have this. I'll tell you this, it's the greatest compensation in all the world. Have this unbroken fellowship with God, this walking with God. The fourth word is transformation. We had occupation, confirmation, separation, now transformation. Sounds like another speaker I know around here. Enoch had a marvelous transformation that took place in his life during those 365 years. No man could walk with God for that length of time and not have a transformation. God's glory rubbed off on him. Fifth word is consecration. Enoch, in order to walk with God, had to have a surrendered will. Go the way. The other man of whom it was said he pleased God, the Lord Jesus said, I delight to do thy will, O God. Sacrifices and offerings thou wouldst not, a body hast thou given unto me. I come to do thy will, O God, in Hebrews. You can't walk with God and go your own way. Walking after the flesh, after your own desires, fulfilling your own course of action won't work. The sixth word is participation. Fellowship. This is the word communion in the New Testament. The word communion means partnership, sharing. Participation. One of the greatest things about this walking with God is the enjoyment of sharing. You'll see this intimated in Jude, 14th verse. Jude, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these. Now, this shows you that Enoch didn't walk with God for 365 years and never say anything. Or God never said anything to him. God took him into his secrets. Now this is amazing. Almost 6,000 years ago, God told Enoch, my son's coming to earth one of these days and judge the ungodly. He was working in the midst of an ungodly generation, remember, in the days of Noah. And every imagination of the thoughts of their heart were only evil continually. Here was a man sharing the secrets of God. Walking in intimate confidence. The secrets of the Lord are with those that fear Him. While the whole antediluvian world was going on, pell-mell into judgment and sure doom, growing more wicked every day. Here was a man who was walking, sharing with God all of God's secrets. People say, well, if I walk with God, it's a lonely walk. Is it? Not if you're walking with Him. It can't be lonely. But if it were, I'd rather have the loneliness of Enoch than the fellowship of the antediluvians and drown with the whole gang. I'd rather have the loneliness of Abraham in the plains of Mamre than all the fellowship of Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah and burn up with the rest of the gang. Like his sons did. His wife didn't actually burn in the city. She just turned the salt out on the plain. And she looked back longing for the urban life. Someone says, well, I have to keep up with society. Well, if Enoch had, he'd have drowned. And just as sure as Enoch lived just before the flood, you and I are living just before the flood of fire. I believe this with all my heart. I know I've said this for 40 years. But I look back on 40 years of teaching prophecy, and I'll tell you this, as Dr. Watson will say, as we talked about signs of the times then, they're nothing to compare with now. Not a thing to compare with now. There is an acceleration. There is a flood in the end as it goes toward the coming of our Lord. Evildoers waxing worse and worse, and seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, and perilous times, and all the rest. They're all here. I don't believe the coming of the Lord is very far away. I'm glad our brother said it before me here this morning. As Enoch was living in an age when it was accelerating toward the flood and the world doom, as God would overthrow the whole world except eight souls with a flood of water. By the same word, Peter says, the earth is stored with fire. By the same word that promised the flood back there, God's promised a judgment upon a wicked world now. I don't want to be in that Holocaust. I'm so glad that I'm walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. Society is on the brink of hell. With one foot on a roller skate and the other on a banana peeler. I'm glad that I can walk with the Lord. But all the sweet fellowship that Enoch had, I remember when I was a young man, and I've known this sorrow in my own heart, seeing a mother, I had one member of my church one time, was blessed with a baby in the family, and all the hopes of the family, everything was wonderful, but it didn't develop. Then anxiety came in the mother's heart and the father's heart as they watched for development, and it didn't come. There was no physical development. There was no mental development. It was not only a retarded child, it was also physically retarded. And that longing anxiety, as she watched for some sign of recognition, some response from the child, and nothing came. I had the same thing in a grandchild of mine, and then we're playing with that child and as a baby, and then watching, and no development. But how do you think God feels? You've been born of the Spirit of God. God waits for development. He waits for some response on your part. That awakening of real love for Him that seeks His face, wants to fellowship with Him. And after all, this is what He wants. This is why He saved you. Amen. It's not an accident that the greatest commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. Why, God saved you. He didn't save you just to bless you or take you to heaven when you die. Like the illustration we use of the man that went in the California gold rush to California, and he stayed for years, and he sent back rich gifts and rich gifts and rich gifts, all kinds of beautiful gifts and money and riches, and finally the wife wrote to him and said, my darling, I love your gifts, but now I want you to come home. Nothing you can do for God will take the place of the love that you owe to walk with Him. Won't do, friend. God saved you to walk with you. He has sought all for all the 6,000 years. God has sought human fellowship, human companionship, that he might walk with you. And no substitute. This is why number 7 is communication. Enoch bore this testimony. He pleased God. Fifth verse of the 11th chapter of Hebrews says, he bore this testimony. He ran counter grain with the trend of his time, and there is nothing in the world that will rebuke in a godless age quite like a consistent Christian walk with God. Not a thing. They'll take knowledge of you that you've been with Jesus. They'll know that there's something different about you. I'm not saying they'll like it. I had more criticism from my family as a young man in Miami, Florida, and as a child, because I didn't do what some of the other members of the family did. But they knew who to go to if they needed prayer. Somebody in touch with God. If you think you can witness, communicate to others at the enemy's fire, you need to go back and read Peter at the high priest's fire. No witness at all. Now, there's one more word. Glorification. And it goes with translation. He was not, for God took him. Again, we say we're living in these days, and like Dr. Watson said, maybe an hour from now, maybe today, they're going to look for E.C. Bragg. And somebody said, he is not. And those who have heard the witness will say, God took him. Whole generation. This is not a fairy tale, you know. This is going to happen. Let it thrill your soul. It'll make you walk with God to know that we're just before the coming of our Lord. And the shout and the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And I like the rest of that. So shall we ever be with the Lord. He was not, for God took him. Now that's the thing I love about this walk with God. There's no end to it. From the time I accepted Christ as my Savior and started the walk all through my life, I've been a Christian for around 57 years. It's not over yet. One of these days, I'm going to walk right on with God into the New Jerusalem. And then walk with Him forever. Revelation 22:3 says, "And this there shall be no curse, for the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him, and they shall see His face." Hallelujah. Martha Snell Nicholson wrote this poem. Many of you have read it. Who walks with God? He journeys far, who walks with God. The wonders of His way, no pen could tell, no brush portray the glories of His day. He journeys swift, who walks with God, stays not for time nor tide. He touches heaven at a bound, takes planets in His stride. He journeys safe, who walks with God, His sword and shield the word. Serene he fares who buckles on the armor of the Lord. Here's the verse I love. Brought tears to my eyes. He journeys home, who walks with God. The road is sure and straight, and leads at last to jasper walls and to an open gate. And Enoch walked 365 years with God, and he was not, but God took him. If God were writing an epitaph sometime after the rapture, I want him to say about E.C. Bragg, he walked with God 57 years, Jesus comes today, and he was not, for God took him. Father dear, we love you for the privilege of walking with you. We'll never understand why you loved us, or how you could love us, why you wanted us. It's just a mystery. But we know it's true, not only from the Word of God, but from all the precious times we've walked with you. Oh, there's been interruptions. There's been disruptions. Oh, thank God for the faithful Spirit of God who drew us back. Lovely this morning for the precious walk we have with you. May each of us determine in our hearts that nothing shall take the place of this walk.
Amen.
May we pay the price. In Jesus' name, amen.